Hey, Overflow, it's Pastor Chad, and I am excited for today. I'm excited that we get to spend a little bit of time together in God's Word and that I actually get to be a part of bringing that to you. Because honestly, any time that we spend in the Word of God is a meaningful and important time. I'm also looking forward to seeing you all in person again soon. I can't wait for that. Like, I'm extroverted. I know some of y'all might be a little more on the introverted side. Like, you're like, hey, some distance has been fine. But honestly, I am super extroverted and I miss all of you, all couple hundred of you that are here, that are a part of. Thank you for tuning in online as we're going. And I'm looking forward to what God might do through us in the future. So it's the last Sunday of the year. And traditionally, what we do is we look back on how the previous year has been and think about that and see what God did. And we look ahead to the next year. Honestly, this time around, looking back on the previous year is a little different than it's been the last several. So as a cathartic experience and as a way to kind of get us all on the same page, if you're in the chat right now, you're on our online platform, you're on Facebook, wherever you are, drop in the emoji that best represents your experience of 2020. Maybe it was like an okay kind of year, and so you got like the kind of like flat-faced emoji there. Maybe it's been a really frustrating year, and you got the red-faced one with a little bleep out. Like, whatever you got to do, drop in your 2020 emoji. Because it has been an interesting year. We've been through a decent amount as a church. We've been through a lot as a country, and we've got a lot of things ahead of us. However, we also have a new year, a new start, and a fresh start to look forward to. Some of your guys' hopes for 2021. I mean, honestly, all of us are hoping that this vaccine stuff works out. We're all hoping that we can have, you know, dinner at a restaurant again, and we can have those things that feel more like normalcy. But also, my honest prayer and hope and vision for us in 21 is that we get another chance to see what God can do. Like, we could highlight all the challenges of 2020. There's a ton, I know, and I'm aware of those. I've been here right here with you. But thinking about it, I just want to highlight one positive thing that we don't say so often. Did you know that the Big C Church, and that includes Overflow, has never had as large of an online presence as it does right now? Like, today, as you're watching this message, this is the largest online imprint that Overflow Church has had. That means the gospel is going out to more and more people. It means that even beyond us, different churches in the area, as well as churches across the globe, are having a greater impact on the internet simply for Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. It's an amazing thing. God can do a lot. And honestly, I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do next. So today, let's jump on into a certain passage in the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 3, if you have a Bible with you. If you're on our platform, the online platform, it's kind of in the upper right. I think I'm roughly pointing at it. It's the Bible tab. If you have that chat open, flip over to Acts chapter 3. We're going to start right away in verse 1. And I want us to take off of this and look at just what God is able to do. So Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1, goes like this. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently and said, "Look at us." The lame man looked up eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, men, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized this was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. See, this story is entertaining to me on several levels. One, I love watching what God does through people, but also just the details in this story are incredible. First of all, the guy is panhandling outside the church door. I mean, that's functionally what he's doing. I mean, the temple was church for them back at this point. And this guy's just like, hey, I need money. And you people that are worshiping God seem generous. I'm just going to panhandle by the church door and see if it works out for me. So this dude sees Peter and John coming. He's like, hey, do you have any money whatsoever? Like, I'm broke. Obviously, I can't work. Like, I'm disabled. Do you have some money? And they're like, bro, look at us. Like, we have no money. But tell you what, we'll share what we do have. Let's see what happens. And the man is instantly healed when, in the name of Jesus, they tell him to walk. It's an amazing story, and it's a fun one. But I want to point out a couple of details for us. First of all, the way that this opens, when it says at the 3 o'clock prayer service, that tells us that this was routine. Now, this is Acts 3, and so Acts 2 is the passage right before this. And it's one of the most popular, famous, well-known passages in the book of Acts. First of all, it opens with Pentecost, like the Holy Spirit coming down in tongues of fire from heaven, people speaking in languages they didn't know, converting 3,000 people to the cause of Jesus and them getting baptized. It's an amazing, huge gospel moment. And then the famous passage about the Acts 2 church, where they're all together, all their needs are being met. They're sharing, they're caring for each other, they're looking out for one another, they're all living together in harmony, and it's beautiful. It's a mountaintop moment. It's a mountaintop chapter in the book of Acts. But what happens after a mountaintop moment? Well, the mundane. The routine comes back. The routine has to set back in. So like for us, like maybe church, it's Sunday morning, you know, 9 or 11, whatever it is that you're maybe watching this at, is a mountaintop moment. And you're like, I feel so close to God. But what happens come Monday? Well, Monday reintroduces the mundane. Like, whatever routine you have in your life, that's where you're at. Now, Peter and John's routine was a bit different. See, when it says the 3 o'clock prayer service, there was two worship and prayer services every single day at the temple, and the entire early church would go to them back at this point in Acts chapter 3. They'd go together every morning and every evening, 9 a.m., 3 p.m., they would go to the temple to worship. This was a holdover and something they still did from the Levitical law in the Old Testament. It's the same time, same sacrifices, same habits, all of those things that were going on. And so on their way in, they saw the same lame beggar they'd seen for days. They already knew the guy. This wasn't the first time that they walked past, right? Because it says that this lame man would be put by that gate regularly. Peter and John had walked past him before. But for whatever reason, on this day, in the middle of their mundane, they stop. Here's the first thing I want us to catch about this passage. When we give him the mundane, God moves. When our routines are based around God, when we pay attention to what God is doing, when we give him our routines, those moments where we're like, nothing exciting is happening. This is the most boring phase of my life. I mean, I don't see a lot of people. I'm inside a lot. I feel isolated. There's a lot of boredom here because I can't go out and do anything. Even coffee shops are closed. What am I going to be on about today? This is my boring routine now. When we give God that, God moves. So whatever you're feeling like right now, you may be one step away from a miracle. Just put up with the mundane a little longer. Give God the mundane, and he just might blow your mind. The second thing I want us to see about this passage, there's going to be a very, very noticeable missing character in this story, right? So we've got Peter, John, and a beggar. We've even got a crowd that observes it. By the way, like, this whole crowd is blessed because of what Peter and John did. Like, they just saw what God could do, and they're like, I don't know, be healed? And the dude was. Notice who's missing, though, from this story. The Holy Spirit never speaks. He's present. He's there. He's clearly working in this whole healing moment. God is clearly at work. But the Holy Spirit never actually speaks. It's not as the story does not read. So Peter and John were walking one day, and they heard the voice of the Spirit say, you're going to heal this man. coming up at 3 o'clock. He's on the right. Here we go. Okay, 20 meters. Yep, 10 meters, 5 meters. Okay, he's right there. Yep, that's the guy we're going to heal today. No. Never spoke. What we're faced with in this story, this is an amazing thing. Catch this. Like, if you catch nothing else today, realize this. The setup for the story was the mundane routine that they were in. The thing that changed was Peter and John. Peter and John walking past the same beggar they'd seen every day, probably twice a day for all these services. They're just like, you know what? Let's see what God can do. Let's see if God could do this. And so they're like, you know what? We have no money. We have nothing really to give you. But in the name of Jesus, can you try walking? And they pull him up by the right hand. And he's able to walk. He's healed. Catch this. All it is two people who believe in God seeing what God can do. Just see what God could do. Maybe it is a miracle. Maybe nothing happens, but you're like, man, it was just an interesting moment with the Lord. Maybe it's in the middle of your routines where, you know what, you do have a devotional routine in the morning and you're like, hey, okay, you know, God, I'm going to pause myself a little bit longer, but this time in silence, would you speak? And just see what God can do. Maybe as you're just reading through the rest of the book of Acts, you notice also, because the second most famous part of the book of Acts is all these missionary journeys that a guy named Paul takes. He has a lot of friends with him. He has a lot of company. He's basically never alone, but we usually forget the other people. But Paul and company, as they're going, did you know the Holy Spirit in all of those missionary journeys around the Mediterranean world, thousands of miles, the Holy Spirit only gave directions one time. And it wasn't even all that specific. The Holy Spirit was like, don't turn east, just cross this small channel and then keep going. Without directions. The missionary journeys, you can double check the geography if you'd like, I promise you it's there. Paul is simply walking down the busiest road and stopping at every town. He just is like, all right, let's see if God can do something here. And that is how the early churches in modern day Turkey and modern day Greece were planted. The ones that we have letters written to, like Ephesus, Philippi, that is how they became. It's just another set of people seeing what God can do. So honestly, like today, my one encouragement for you, the one thing I desperately want you to see and to get is this. Just go for it. Just go for it. Just see what God can do through you. Because we have the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that is all over the place here in the book of Acts is within us now. It's the same Spirit. It's just different people. See what God can do through you. Maybe the thing that you just give it a shot. Maybe you post on your Facebook page if you're watching this there, just like, hey, have you guys read this story in Acts chapter 3? It's crazy. And then comment back and forth with whoever replies. Maybe you actually just share this service on your page. Did you know that every time that you take an opportunity and share the page, dozens of more people are connected to whatever service you shared? Actually, like your friend group needs the gospel too. So just try sharing on your page. I mean, see what happens. Honestly, it's two clicks and really no risk. So why not? Go for it. But God's not just about, you know, things that can happen in the virtual world. Let's say in January, you're really looking forward to seeing us again in person. Invite a friend to come with you. Yeah, we'll mask up. We'll be distant. We have hand sanitizer out the wazoo. Like, we got you covered. We'll be spread out. It'll be good. We've still got our hospital grade cleaner that we're using between all of our services. Like, we've got that covered. But invite a friend to come with you and say, you know what? Someone else at some point in my life gambled on me. Whether it was a parent who said, I'm going to take my kid to church with me, or a friend who said, you should come to church with me, or a greeter, because we just kind of Googled churches near me. And then we showed up, but a greeter was like, hey, I'm just glad that you're here. Somebody in your story gambled on you. Somebody in your story gambled that, you know what? You would actually be able to experience something of God by coming to church. Make that gamble for someone else. Just give it a shot. If it's a neighbor, if it's a friend, if you know what, some of us even have family members who are like, you know what, we're not on board with the God thing. Okay, that is the perfect person to invite to come with you. First of all, if you're in the same household, then you can sit next to each other at church. But beyond that, what joy you have experienced by being with God, other people need that too. So gamble on them just like someone else gambled on you. Honestly, Acts 3, the story that we're working off of today, doesn't exist if Peter and John don't gamble that God can actually do something. See, with man, it's completely impossible to like shake someone's hand, which is what the story is, right? Peter shakes his hand, functionally pulls him up, and boom, God heals him. The story is nothing and isn't even in our Bible if God doesn't move. But Peter's like, let's just see what God can do. So see what God can do. Take the same gamble that someone else did on you at some point in your life. See, because I believe that our God is still working, and he even is. So a couple of months ago, we challenged y'all to pray a simple prayer that if you're on the fence about faith, or you're like anti-faith, or you're just, you know, just checking it out, but really not sold about this Jesus guy, pray the simple prayer, God, if you're real, prove it. So I was actually talking with one of y'all last couple of weeks, texting and calling back and forth. And I was like, hey, you know, how are you doing? And he was like, hey, so in November, you guys challenged us to pray that prayer. And so I did. And so day one and day two, nothing happened. And he was like, yeah, dude, like nothing happened. I prayed a couple times those first 2 days, nothing happened. But then, and he was telling me this, he said, but then I decided that like I was reading in my Bible and it looked like fasting was something that Christians do. So I was like, I don't know, let's give it a shot. Let's see what could happen. And so he began to fast as well. And so praying and fasting, praying this simple prayer, God, if you're real, prove it, and fasting. Twice in the next week, he heard a voice say, I am here. Twice. And even since then, even with that mountaintop moment, he kept the fasting and praying routine, and God has continued to move every week since those moments in November. God is still working in our midst, but maybe you're still on the fence about, okay, I believe in God, but I don't know if I really want to gamble on someone else. Nobody likes to be left out. Okay, I remember this time very specifically today, even when I was in my early 20s. That makes me sound a lot older than I am, but it was a few years ago, so we're going to call it early 20s. I was a part of a young adult ministry, and they met on Monday nights. And for whatever reason, I was busy one Monday night, and I had to work or something. I don't even remember what I was doing, but I was off doing something else. I was like, hey, I'll miss this week, but I'll be back with y'all next week. And they were like, okay, cool. And their normal routine of like, okay, they played a game and then they did a Devo and they went and they ended was going on. But right at the end of the Devo, the pastor, the young adult pastor at the church was like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but like, I just feel something. This could be nothing. I'm going to gamble on this. But do any of y'all want to be baptized? Of the 20 young adults there, 11 got baptized on the spot. They went out back in a pond with no change of clothes, no towel, no nothing. One of their friends got it on their cell phone, just recording it. And 11 people impromptu got baptized just because this one young adult pastor was like, I don't know, let's see what God can do. I remember distinctly getting calls and like texts the next day, like, hey man, were you there? Was I where? Were you at young adult stuff? No, I was working, I think. And they're like, dude, you missed it. And then I actually had to sit in church on that next Sunday and see the video of my friends getting impromptu baptized, who I would love to have been there for, but because I was doing something else, like I was not a part of it. And I missed out on an amazing moment. That church was on fire and buzzing about this one impromptu 11 baptisms for 2 months. And every time they're like, oh, you're about that age. Were you there? Nope. Still regret going to work that evening. It was probably something optional too. Like I work hard. Okay, cool. But like, I just decided, oh, I'll skip young adults for some reason. But God did something amazing because a young adult pastor said, you know what? Let's just see what God can do. And so this is my encouragement for you today. Just see what God can do. Go for it. Honestly, like if you think about it, there's basically like, what's the worst that can happen? Nothing. Right? Nothing is the worst thing that can happen. So what you're telling me, let's roll this back a second. What you're telling me is that you literally have nothing to lose when you gamble on someone else. And when you just like see what God can do, There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. See, when we gamble on other people, others might actually enter the kingdom of God and be saved, restored, healed, baptized, brought into Christian community, and thriving in the kingdom of God. That's an amazing win for no real risk. We're in America. There's no real risk for inviting people to church. There's no real risk going on when we're like, hey man, can I talk to you about what I believe? Or like, hey, I don't know what your story is, but here's my story. Like, there's no real meaningful risk to that. Wear a mask. Like, there's no risk beyond, like, you need to be distant when you do that. Like, maybe FaceTime them. But like, guys, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain. If the goal is to fill heaven, we have nothing to lose. So just go for it. See what God can do. My hope for us as a church, as Overflow Church in 2021, it's just a few days away from now. My hope and prayer for us is that we would be willing to be bold and just see what God can do. Because when we give him our mundane, our routine, and our Mondays, God moves.